Father, we thank you again for this wonderful day and for the day to come back to the house of God tonight. We open this precious book again and ask for the meeting of the Spirit of God in our midst to help us receive that which will be a blessing and to walk by faith, dear Father. As we come again, I pray that not only you'd help this frail body, but help our ears to hear, our hearts to be open, and in turn we'd grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and practice that which we know would please our Heavenly Father and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much, and take your Bible and turn, if we will, to Galatians chapter, down about Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. We're picking up again to the second part of last week's message that we started on. We talked about the law of faith found in Romans chapter 3, verse 27. And I'd like to go back and just mention the fact that, and if you look in Galatians chapter 3, first of all, and look down about verse 12, you'll find the scripture says, "And the law is not of faith, but," he said, "the man that doeth them shall live in them." And yet in Romans chapter 3, verse 27, he says, "There's the law of faith." Now, I must understand that phrase if I'm going to understand anything about walking by faith. In other words, God's law itself is not kept in the sense of established faith. God's law is not faith. You do what God says do in his law, you either do that or you're condemned. And if you're condemned, there's a penalty for the law. But he teaches us that there is a law of faith. There is a law method that faith operates in our lives. And as a matter of fact, you'll never really understand the things of God unless it comes through the channel of faith, because that's how God gets from where he's at to where we're at, to understand those things about him, since he is a spirit, and he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And so when we talk about faith, I believe that sometimes we use the language, but really don't understand a lot about what it means to walk in the realms of faith. We have ideas, we have definitions of it, but the Bible is fairly plain, and I don't know if I can even do it justice, but I sure want to try that. I know that, as I see in Galatians chapter 2, down verse 20 and 21, Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Verse 21 says, then he said, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteous came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." He's talking about what grace has done in his heart and how he lives by faith. And he said, "I don't want to frustrate the grace of God by bringing the law in to do something for me that it cannot do but condemn me." And anytime you try to use the law as a method of getting saved, you're frustrating grace. Because there is no such a thing. It's all pure grace or it's not. And God says it is by grace, for we're saved by grace, and know that. Now we know in verse 16, he said of chapter 2, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." In other words, it's obvious, the Bible says over and over, that there's no justification, no declaring right by God in the fact that what the law can do for us. And that tells us, when God gives that so precise, that since Adam's day, no one has kept the law, because the only way the law can be satisfied is to be kept. And since it cannot be kept, has not been kept by anyone except the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've all failed at it. We've all had our chance at it since Adam's days, the human race. In fact, we've had our chance at it in the age of grace now, where we're living at in our time. And we failed at that, and so we have to come by grace and by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think about this walking by faith gives us strength. I read where there's a lady by the name of Mrs. Youngston. She was a member of a church, and she was telling her pastor, he led her to the Lord, tried to lead her husband to the Lord, and could not lead him to the Lord. And she was a member about 6 months of the church, and he wouldn't come to church with her. And he got kind of aggravated with her because she wanted to go there. That's where she'd been saved. She was baptized. And so she came to the pastor one night and said to him, Pastor, "I'm really concerned about my husband. Said that I want you to really pray for me, because he is very much against me coming to this church. And he's threatened me." And the pastor said, "Well, my dear lady, learn to walk by faith. I mean, it's, you know, this thing is of God. And you just trust him, and I'll assure you, as we'll pray for you, and we'll assure you that the Lord will watch over you." And she said, yes, I know he has already watched over me, but. And he said, but what? And she said, well, I'll tell you, since it's not now that he's threatened me, he's threatened you. And then he said, well, my dear lady, let's think about that a minute. There's a church across town probably left to have you as a member right now. It's amazing how faith works in our lives, isn't it? Where we're at. It's very good, easy to tell someone else to walk by faith, but sometimes when we find a threat, we want to move on to other places. But here at this particular time, I want you to notice as we read in chapter 3 here in Galatians, I want to read a few verses. Turn over with, if you will, and look at chapter 3, verse 20. I want to read verse 18 down through about 29. Here it says, let's go back at 19. He said, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. Of course it's not. For if there had been a law given which would give life, verily righteousness would have been by the law. I like that. God said if there could have ever been a law, and by the way, God is saying I could give a law if a law could be given that would bring righteousness. He's letting us know that as he writes here to the church at Galatia. And that's what he says here. He said that, God forbid, for if there had been a law given which would have given life, verily righteousness would come by the law. But the scriptures had concluded, and God is, not only is he God of the law, he's God of the scriptures, which becomes his law. He said the scriptures had concluded, all under sin, that the promise of faith by Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Romans 3:23, all have sinned come short of the glory of God, and that proves that Jesus Christ is necessary because the law condemns and only Christ can give the life. Now, verse 23, he says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which would afterward be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. Now, the question is, what was the law given? Why was the law given? I think it's a good question. And he's answering this right here at this time. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But then he says, verse 25, but after that faith is come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Now, God said, I gave the law and forced you didn't have the law unto Moses' time. And I gave the law for the fact that people would see how much they needed outside help, how much they needed a Savior. They cannot do what are required to be done. If they could have, then that would have been enough. In God's courts, his laws and so forth would have stood if the law had been kept. If you don't break the law, you don't have to pay the fine. That's understandable in our own laws of this land. But when you do break the laws, you have to pay the fine. The only thing about God's laws are more than man's law, and the fine is more than what you and I can pay. And so he shows us now that Christ came, and because of that, God has a right to set the law. He could have given a law if need be, could go up, brought life, but he could not bring life. Law could only condemn, and therefore, this element of faith. So the law was added because of transgression to give the sin character, to give it strength, to give it that which in turn could be seen, that there must be something about this thing where the law condemns rather than actually can bring salvation. So men had been sinning before Moses' day, and therefore the law was not imputed. Now, it's hard for us to grasp on this side where we're at. But he said from the time of Adam to Moses' day, man died because of the nature of sin. And man died because of sin, but God didn't impute the penalty of sin because why would God is a just God. If a person didn't know what sin required and what law required for sin, then how would they know what sin really was? If they didn't have the law, if they didn't understand the law, how would they have known what law was to be kept and what law was not to be kept? Until the law was given, and they found out they couldn't keep the law. And then he said, in the absence of the law, their sins were not put to their account. But when God gave to Moses the law to the nation of Israel to bring that nation out as a representation of who God is to the world, then that law is the same for everybody, even though it was given to the nation of Israel. The law of God, he doesn't have to make a law for us and a law for Israel, a law for somebody else. His laws are perfect wherever they're at. And so he's saying then, even to Israel, that he did not impute the law sin of breaking the law to them. And Ephesians 5 gives us that, and we'll try to look at that a little bit later. And therefore, he said that the law gave sin the character of its transgression and so forth. And it provided the sinfulness of a man's nature. It showed that we're concluded that we're all under sin because we all die, and because we all die shows that we're all sinners. And he said that law was given to show us our need of someone other than ourselves. We needed a Savior. And it was a schoolmaster to let us know who we are. We were sinners, and it brought us to the time that Jesus Christ came, that we could by faith receive him as our personal Savior. And then he said, for you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, one of the amazing things about in our day, the feminine movement in our day, says that these verses show us that there is no difference. There is no one over the other. I mean, because he says in us that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female. And it amazes me they're talking about male and female. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. This is not talking about gender in the sense of there's not such a, we know better than that. I can look out here and see a mixture of males and females. He's talking about getting saved. There is no difference. It doesn't matter what rank a person is, it doesn't what gender they are, they're all lost. They all need saving. And he's saying that law will bring them to the knowledge they need Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so here he said, if ye make Christ or ye Abraham's seed, and theirs according to the promise. Now, listen, what Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, I want you to turn over there just a minute, and let's look at something that Jesus said. Luke chapter 17. And if you look down about verse 6, Jesus is giving instruction here about forgiveness. And as he does, he says, take heed to yourself, verse 3, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Notice, and if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn thou again and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, watch what the introduction of verse 6 is. When Jesus said this to the disciples, they knew they needed help. And in verse 5, they said, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Lord, we got to have more faith than we got now to do what you just did. You mean I'm supposed to tell someone if he come to me 7 times in 1 time in a day and ask me to forgive them, I'm supposed to do it even though it's the same thing you asked me to forgive them for? He said, yes, sir. And they said, I don't know if we can do that. Lord, we need an increase of our faith. By the way, we do too. We're no better than the disciples were. He said, we need increase our faith. Another time he said, not only 7 times at 7 place, when he said 70 times 7. Man, ladies and gentlemen, that's a tremendous indictment against us as children of God. We need our faith increased too, to understand why God will say that. But look in verse 6, he said, and the Lord said, now watch. They said, Lord, increase our faith. We're talking about forgiveness here, about someone who does something against me 7 times in 1 day, the same thing. I mean, that morning all during the day. I mean, after the 6th time, you wonder if the guy really meant it, wouldn't you? But then notice what he said. He didn't go no detail about it. He just made this statement. He said, and the Lord said, if ye have faith of a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. What an amazing statement. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never asked a tree to move somewhere else. In fact, I can't even get limbs to move by themselves out of my yard. But God says, hey, isn't that an amazing thing to talk about faith? Now, there's something there we miss. But the Lord is letting us see that this thing works. The text says he's talking about forgiveness. And that's God's a big mountain in our lives, and we need increase of faith for that. And in turn, he said, God will allow us to come to things in times that when we pray like we should, God will remove those mountains in our particular life. Now, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, when I think about the law, God's law is not of faith, it's of works. On the other hand, the law of faith is necessary. How can I understand that? You see, really, when you talk, it's kind of like the word believe and the word faith used in the scriptures. Well, I'll come to that just a little bit later because I think it'll fit better as we get into the message. Paul said, we walk by faith and not by sight. Look with me in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, and about verse 39, just a moment. Notice what verse 39 says. He said, "In these all of these in this wonderful hall of fame, are walking by faith." There's 40 verses here from chapter 11, verse 1 to verse 40. Verse 39 says, "In these all that he lists here in the Old Testament, attained a good report through faith, received not the promise." In that, this is an amazing thing, what they went through. And yet, they received not the promise, though God made the promise. They didn't waver in their faith, and they never received the promise. But one day, they will. In other words, they knew God's word was right, whether they saw it or didn't see it. There's a lot of things we know that is right, but we've never touched them. There's a lot of things we know that are real, but we never touched them. We've seen them in the senses, but we never touched them. Faith goes beyond the senses. Faith is that fifth dimension, or sixth dimension, you should say, that goes beyond this life to make things real, because God, who is the Spirit, has made statements of those things. And so the essence of faith consists in receiving God, what God has revealed to you and I in this life. For salvation, faith is certainly personal trust in Jesus Christ. And of course, for prayer, it's having confidence in God that he hears our prayer. He tells us that. And also, it's used to see unseen things, according to chapter 11, verse 1, 2, and 3. There are subjects of things not seen, evidence of things, or subjects of things hoped for, and evidence of things that's not seen. So Paul talks about this. Now, we know why the law was given. We know the just shall live by faith. When it comes right down to us in life, just, those who have been declared right to live by faith. The Bible teaches us, we get that from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. The only thing about it, everywhere it's quoted in the scriptures, where it be Romans chapter 1, 17, or Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, it said the just shall live by faith. But in Habakkuk, it says the just shall live by his faith. That's the individual faith. I can't live on your faith, you can't live on mine. But I can live on my faith about things that God makes real to my heart, and hopefully that it can share it with others, and they will see that too. So I want to give three quick things about the law of faith. First of all, let's look at the definition in chapter 11 of the law of faith. We've seen this before, and I'm going to just go over it real fast. Now, faith is the subject of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That has nothing to do with the senses. My senses will never see what I'm talking about here until God brings it to light, and when it does, I will see by sight, not by faith. Everything about God will have to be by faith, because he's a spirit. I have to trust him that what he says is true. That's the reason I believe the rapture is going to take place. I know he's given record in the past where he's raised people from the dead, but he's never given anything like he's going to be when the church is raised from the dead. That's going to be a fabulous thing. And I believe that with all my heart, by faith. I have no evidence other than God's word. That's all I have. There's no one ever seen that. There's no one ever came back and tried to tell us anything about it whatsoever except Jesus Christ when he was here. And yet, we have to believe what he says by faith. By the way, you have no evidence about your salvation except by faith. God's word is so real in your heart that makes you believe what you believe because you blow it so. You know God cannot lie. He made a promise to you where others say, I can't believe that. It's hard for me to see that. I can't grasp that. I don't understand that. Well, one thing is sure, we learned a long time ago, we've been saved long, a lot of things about God you can't understand, but you still trust him. And that's what faith is. And it brings to reality of things about a world you cannot see otherwise except through the eyes of faith. So he said, now faith is the substance of things that I hope for. That is, they're the satisfaction, they're the real, they're substance. Substance is things that you know is real, though you're not seen as of yet. So our faith gives us substance about what God said. You know, I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a city of gold. I believe there's a new Jerusalem. I believe there's a street of gold running through that city. I believe it's 1,500 miles cubed. I believe that Jesus Christ's saints are going to live there forever. I've never seen the city, but I believe that. Why? By faith. Why? God, who taught me about faith, teaches me what faith does. It's the channel that you and I get through to see the evidence of something we've not seen yet, and we will trust it by faith until God opens our spiritual eyes to see it by sight, and then we won't have to worry about faith anymore on the other side. But as long as we're here, we have to be we have to be sure that of that one thing. So he says evidence of things hoped for. Now there's a difference in the fact of hoping and faith. And well, I'll look at that a little bit later. Notice the evidence of things not seen. It's such as things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. In other words, when God gives it about that city, it's substance to us that we're hoping for that. Not as the world hopes, because the reality of God is true. But he says also that it's the evidence of things not seen. In other words, there is faith giving me the proof of things that God has promised not seen. There's a lot of things in this life my senses have been involved with that I don't know much about except what men tell me. I've seen the sun, but I never touched it. I've seen the moon. I've never touched it. Some people say they have. I believe they have. Some old-timers don't think they ever went there. What I'm saying, there's a lot of things in space I have seen pictures of, but I've never touched it. So in reality, I'm taking advice of someone else. I never touched it. I've never seen those things with my physical eye, my senses. On the other hand, I believe as I look about those things that God, who is the great God of the universe, who spoke and these things came into existence. And can you imagine the power behind his voice? No wonder if he would speak to us now, we'd fall upon our face, because it's a powerful voice. His voice is so powerful that he can call out of darkness light. His voice is so powerful that he can call out of water fish and sea life. His voice is so powerful that he can speak life into a human being that's nothing but dirt that he's made in the glorified state of flesh. Can you imagine then if he just speaks with authority of such a voice of that? Why, there'd be some fear in someone's heart unless God removes that fear, because we understand who we are. And I like that, because I think God has removed fear. There is no, we should have no fear, because the peace of God's come to our heart. And that fear that we would have otherwise has been dissipated through Jesus Christ. Why? There is no, let me explain it. I don't know what, who can I use? I don't want to use the Washington. Who can I use? Oh, good gracious. England. Let's look at the Queen of England. To me, if I had an audience with the Queen of England, I'd be nervous. I'd have to go through protocol. And I'm not good with that. A protocol, as you call it. Kyle, call. I'm not used to that. Are you? I'd be nervous. I don't know what I'd say right. I'm a Johnson County boy. I mean, there's a lot of hoopla in that kind of thing, right? I'd be nervous. I'd be honest with you, I have a little bit of fear. He said, I wouldn't. You got fear right now. But what I want to say is this. But if I was a child, I wouldn't be. If she was my mother, she's mom. I don't care who bows down to her, amen? Isn't that wonderful? We've got all the authority. We're his children. Hallelujah. Folks, listen to me. Can you? We just take for granted some things, and the most wonderful thing on this earth, to be known and called and have the privilege to be called children of God because of Jesus Christ. And yet all of that's by faith now, because I'll be honest with you, I wasn't here when Jesus came, but boy, I believe he came. You say, well, a lot of people believe that and a lot of people don't. Well, listen, I believe because I believe this book is the Word of God. All that junk others have written about him, I just don't believe. And the Word of God overrides that. So that gives me assurance by faith until I see it. I know I'm going to see him. But you say, no, preacher. But let's say you won't. But maybe the world will say, no, preacher, you don't know you're going to see him. Yes, I do. Why? He told us we would. He said he's coming back. He promised it. And he said they'll mock and say I'm not. They told Peter that. But he said, just keep in mind, God keeps his promises. Amen. See, the world can't get that unless they experience who Jesus Christ really is. The world's so fickle, they'll promise you something and deny it. They even promised it later. God doesn't do work that way at all. And so he says it's proof of things. Notice, it's faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And then he said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are unseen were not made of things which do appear. We know that what we can see, was made out of what cannot be seen with the physical eye. So how, my question is now, how did we get to where we are here now? How did I get where I'm at here right now? There's a time that God began to show me that in life he had assignments. He calls people to do things. I didn't understand all about that, and sometimes you have to come from where you're at and go through a channel a lot of things and look back and see what God, how God does things in life when you have the audacity just to obey what God is leading to do. And so what we had was a time that where we come from where we were 47 years ago this August, 48 years ago, I guess this August it was, 47 years in May when we have our 47th anniversary. We came where we are now. You cannot be reminded if you do not know. And God has never let us forget where we came from. And the reason for that is we must know he's the author of this, no one else. Now, sometimes people say, well, that church is in, it's his church. No, it's not. They can say that all they want to. I know my heart. This is God's church, and I could leave the scene just like that. And he'd have to, and then it'd be what he would do with that thing. Because it's God who is called to put us together. Now, isn't it an amazing thing that in those early years when we started, things were so hard, God gave us people who had the same agenda that we had, or felt the same agenda. In other words, they found out that this thing that God had given them also was part, given us was a part of theirs. It reminded us, in the sense that God gave us a burden. It reminded us that we practice in our lives together in the things that God has called us to do. I thought about how do you get people to see that God is leading you to do something? You can't. You can't do it yourself. God himself has to do that. God himself has to be the one that actually brings it about in such a way that it can be seen. And so what God does is give us a burden. Christianity is not believing certain doctrines. Christianity is practicing those doctrines. Without practicing nothing in our lives, you don't have Christianity. If we're not practicing something that's biblically, the world will never know what Christianity is. So when a person says he believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then they live a lifestyle that they want to live themselves, that person's salvation is very doubtful. And so when a person says they believe in Jesus Christ and their lifestyle does not set forth that belief, then the qualification of what being a Christian is not seen. And people have doubt about that. So how do we get where we are today? Fellowship Baptist Church is not an accident. Fellowship Baptist Church is not a split from another church. It is a gender that God gave on someone's heart. It was assignment that he set with a burden, and God gave others assignment to work with that burden. And down through the years now, hundreds and hundreds of people have been involved in 47 years to get us to where we are today. God works through people. And those people, through the years, and those people we have here now work by faith. We're doing what we're doing still by faith. Because that's the only way to work. And God lets it materialize to some degree as we look back through the trail. Now, when you talk about walking by faith, until God changes that assignment, then we have to keep going the direction that we're going. God has given us people to do just that. Now, someone said, have we always walked by faith? Well, how had you always walked by faith? Yes, we've always walked by faith. Ladies and gentlemen, we never had a chicken dinner sold here. We never had a pig dinner sold in this church. We believe that if God wants us to have it, then we ought to trust him for it. But I'll tell you, you have to walk by faith to do that. I think about things in my life. I think about in those early years, for a year, we didn't get into a sovereign of any kind. I think about what our family had to go through. God didn't test us to let him know what we would do. He tested us so he know, let us see what we would do. God knew what we would do. He knows what you would do. God don't test us so I need to just see if Owen is going to do this. No, he knows his work from the very beginning. God doesn't test us to see whether you're going to tie or not tie. God tests us to see whether from his standpoint, he knows where we will not. God tested to see if you will prove yourself. So he wants you to see yourself biblically. And so when I look in the scriptures, I go back and I see some things that God did years ago. There's times when, like you've heard me say, many times the church said, when they came to me and said, hey, we want to go to $75 a week, if you will, as a pastor. I said, okay. And he said, we'll make up the difference. Barbara and I saw to it, they never had to make up the difference. Why? Because it wasn't there, we put it back in. And God honored that. And I can say that now, for a lot of folks didn't know about it in those days. But now, it did that because God showed, we knew our assignment. We knew that God was testing us, and we knew there's things we need to do. I never told this to anybody except a few, maybe bookkeeping. But it's something God laid on my heart many years ago to do. I give my offering every 2 weeks. I've done that for 40-something years. Say, why, preacher? Because I started to begin when there was nothing and said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. This week I'm going to give my offering for this week that I get my check, but I'm going to give when I give next week's offering before I ever get my check. What are you doing, preacher? I'm trusting God for that before I ever get it. And for years I do, and I do that today. I bet the usher don't understand when they see the check come in, what it comes in for the amount today, every 2 weeks. I give this week's offering that I owe God, as best I know, and beyond the tithe now, beyond that which he blessed me with to show my appreciation, and I gave the next week's offering before I ever got it, because I was trusting God for it. I don't say that to brag. God knows in my heart, I'm telling you, walking by faith is not easy sometimes, because God is not so much he has to test us, he knows what we'll do. But you know, Satan don't know what you and I do, and you and I don't even know what you and I do. But he proves to us what we'll do, and he proves to Satan what we will do, even when we walk by faith. And ladies and gentlemen, that's an amazing, amazing thing, how it works out. We have never, again, like I said, we live by faith all the time. I found a book I showed you. I was going to bring it and show it on the screen, Denton, at night. Of what starting the church out and the drawings I drew many years ago of what this church should be according to the book of Acts. And God gave us the assignment of that. In other words, the definition of faith. Now, when I look at this definition, I want you to notice something. He said, now faith is the substance. I told you last week, this word of the Bible is not written in chapters and in verses like we have it. So if you go back and you see when you look in verse 39, the flow words go right into chapter 11, verse 1. He said, but verse 39 of chapter 10, he said, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe in the saving of the soul. Verse 38 says, now the just shall live by faith, but if a man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We are not of those who draw back, he said, in perdition, but of them that believe in the saving of the soul. Now faith, see, it goes, flows right in. Now faith is something. Faith is a conjunction, but now it's a type of conjunction. To lean into it, that why they're doing what they did before that, that faith itself is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So the second thing we want to look at, not just the definition of faith, but we're looking at the overcoming of faith. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And we may not get through this tonight. We may have to do it another time, be a couple weeks from now before we get back to it, though, because I'm not going to take this in a hurry. I want you to understand faith is a principle, ladies and gentlemen, that most of us don't really understand. We know it by word. We know it by heart. We know even we can quote Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, 2, and 3. But notice he says in chapter 5, we saw this a few weeks ago, we overcome this world with our faith in Jesus Christ. Notice he said in verse 1, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, born of God, and everyone that loveth hath begotten of him, loveth him, also that is begotten of him. By this, by what? That we're those who believe in Jesus Christ, born of God, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments, when we obey his word, is what he said. Now, for this, for what? When we know we love the children of God and keep his commandments, for this is the love of God. It's the love of God that causes us to have that tight attitude. Then he says that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous to us. Notice in verse 4. So whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, faith is the channel. Faith has an object. Faith in itself can do nothing without an object. And he tells us here how we overcome the world. Whatsoever is born of the God overcometh the world. Now, the world is the system that we live in. It's the system that governs us, the system that brings us to things in this life we either are defeated by or have victory over. And he says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That takes me back again to Hebrews 11, the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. But wait a minute. Even our faith, notice, he said, who is he that overcometh the world? I'm glad God gave us verse 5. Even our faith in how, in who, in what? Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. See, there's no dissipating the evidence here at all. It's all around the Lord Jesus Christ. This system. Now turn with me to the book of James for just a moment. James chapter 1. Back over just a few pages. And let's look at what James said in James chapter 1. I want to read first five verses. Notice James said, and ladies and gentlemen, notice how God, these subjects have so much information about them and the pattern of walking that God just keeps adding to it so that our faith can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And more it grows in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, the more the evidence you have and the more assurance you have and harder Satan to waver us from away from things when things get tight and hard at times. He says, unless we have health problems and otherwise, I know this, I can't do what I used to do. I'm having a hard time. I'm really having a hard time. I can't hardly get out of bed in the morning sometimes now due to the problems I have. And when I get up and do the exercise the doctor told me to do and so forth, man alive, but I can do what I can do. And I found this out. When it comes down to my life in this life, when it comes to the assignment, my assignment is still the same, serve the living God. Just how I can do that, I don't know. But I'm going to do it. I don't have to turn back now. But Scott, I know it. I've given the best of my life, and so I can't do what I did 30 years ago. I can't go like I'm doing now. I can't get up at the call of midnight to go somewhere like I used to. I just can't do that anymore. And Barbara and I are talking about it. It's just no one really knows unless you feel the position. But I can do what I can do, where I need to do. My assignment may readjust a little bit, but it'll always be to serve God. So I'm seeing, he said in James chapter 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad, a greeting. He's talking to Israel now, but he said, my brethren. Now when he talked to them, he's talking to them because that is who that the transition period has taken place in the book of Acts, moving over not only Jew, but Jew and Gentile. And so what he said is for both, though he's given this to Israel. He said, my brother, count it all joy. If you fall into divers temptation. No, sir. He said, when? So that means it's coming, folks. It's going to be like a summit. It's coming. He said, count it joy. Now, how in the name of heaven? I've been there, folks. I hadn't found a lot of joy in sorrow. But he said, count it joy. Why? Because God never lets anything happen if something ain't going to come out best for us. And that's by faith. He said, count it joy. When ye fall into temptation. No, when ye fall, not if ye fall. The word fall means count it all joy when you come against temptation. Now watch. Knowing this. Now you go back again and you see this knowing this. Knowing what? Count it all joy and knowing this. That your trial of your faith worketh patience. I've never thought much about when I'm hurting that I want to be praising God for. And I used to think, well, I must be backslidden because I just can't do it. Then I found out God's not giving me something I can't do. He's just saying, hey, you learn to live with that, knowing I'm going to deliver you one way or the other. You can't deny the senses when you hurt, folks. Someone said, well, if you got pain, just claim it to leave. I've done that many times, and God still let me keep it. It don't work that way. Now, we can lie about it, but I thank God there have been times that he did remove pain, but he didn't do it the instant I asked him to do it. Had some good old Percocet. What I'm saying, God already had given something to help us with pain. And give me a mind to understand that I can't misuse it. I can't abuse it. Because if I do, it'll be worse than I was without taking it. See, isn't it amazing? Folks, listen, we're not ignorant to things. I'm so glad God gave me some things. I'm glad, hey, I'd heat rather have that good old shot that puts you out to cut in me than that'd get me drunk with alcohol. Amen? They didn't have that stuff at one time, antiseptic. They didn't have those things. You used to get tell me years ago, hear some old-timers talk that even doctors would get you half a gallon of whiskey or something give to you so you wouldn't receive the pain. Well, if you didn't have nothing else, thank God for that. And then somebody go out and said, preacher, thanking God for whiskey. I'm not doing that. I'm trying to give a point, folks. But I'm saying to you, God has given us a lot of remedy for things to help us in this life already before we come on existence. And I thank God for that. And so he said, knowing this, that trying your faith worketh patient, let patient have her perfect work. The testing. God doesn't test us to see what we're going to do. I told you, God is testing us so we'll see what we'll do. And the only way Satan can see is when we're tested what we're going to do. Satan don't know a bit more what you're going to do tomorrow than I do, than you do. He knows what you may be planning, but it may have never unfolded. Satan has to go day by day. That's when he needs all those workers he has, demons and so forth, to do his bidding. God knows from the very beginning. If you go to the book of Acts, he said, none of his works, all his works from the very beginning. So what happens is God don't do anything to see where we'll do something or not. He knows where we'll do it or not. That's the reason God don't have to test us. He just allows the test to come. He doesn't test us to see whether he will see us do what we're going to do or not. God knows what we're going to do. But he helps us through tests to let us see what we will do. Is my faith strong enough to do what God said I'd do? Or what he told me to do? Oh, yes, Lord, I'll do. Well, they say, okay, the time will come with show. I don't have to see it. I already know what you do. But I want you to see what you do. And Satan have to see what you do. And the demons of hell have to see what you do. Because none of you know. I do. That's the reason by faith it's an amazing thing to know when we're in his hands, ladies and gentlemen. We're a winner both ways, Brother Joe. Just like you said this morning. Whatever comes, we're winners both ways when we're in his hands because of that. I thank him for that. The word this, proven of your faith. It's not, notice, he's not proven us, he's proven our faith. The faith will tell us who we are to ourselves. He doesn't necessarily test us to prove us. He knows us, but he's showing us to prove the faith we have is what it would be when we face these things. If they come in here tonight and arrest all of us for worshiping Jesus Christ, where would our faith take us? Would half of us be out of jail next week because we said we weren't going to trust him anymore? See, God knows what we'll do even if that takes place in America. But on the other hand, he lets us understand that he's testing our faith. It's our faith that he's testing, which is the channel that we use to walk in that world with him this side of eternity. God already knows, as I've said. If you look in Acts 15, verse 18, you find he knows all things from the very beginning. So God must let this temptation must come from Satan by being allowed Satan to do it. By the way, Satan can't do a thing unless God allows it. His hands are tied. So when you and I are tested, you can understand that God is not trying us to see what we'll do. God is letting us showing us that our faith will be, and it would pass understanding, and we'll find ourselves coming through that, and we'll see after we looked at the Word of God as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, we'll see where God was with us all the way. And may God help us understand that if I can go through this life and face all of this I have to face and have a painful bed of problems as I wade my way life through this life, and I look how the Word of God becomes a lamp to my feet, and I began to look, as you've heard me say so many times, and turn around and look back how God brought me. Ladies and gentlemen, that simply says to you and I, if he did it there, he's going to do it all the way with us. All he's doing is proving to you and I that God does not change. And what he's done in the past for us, he's showing us that he's going to do it for the future. You can depend upon him. He will deliver us like he said he would. I'm so grateful to see that. And when I come down to the end, I understand that now how the overcoming comes in this world. Here our faith is proven to us. And the question is, have you proved the law of faith personally for yourself? We do that all the time. I've got to quit tonight. We'll pick the remainder of this up probably about 3 weeks from now because we have missionary coming in and a couple things will be taking place. But I want you to know this. If you look in Hebrews chapter 11, back 6, where we started, the Bible says this, and I as he develops, he talks about this hall of fame. He talked about Abel, what he did. He talked about Enoch, what he did. But in verse 6, I close with this thought. He said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who? God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Watch. For he that cometh to God must not think about it, maybe consider it, but he that cometh to God must believe that he is. I wish I could stop there for a few minutes. It's not just haphazardly, it might be. It must be that we walk with him through eyes of faith, substance of things hoped for, proof of things not seen. The elders in the past tained a good report for that. And when we walk through, we see that we must believe that he is and that he that is, because if he is not, don't worry about getting rewards. But he that is, he says, that he is a rewarder of them, watch, that diligently seek, what's the last word in that verse? Him. Oh, that's not what we're looking at most of the time. We're seeking things. Isn't it amazing? That helps me see on John 6 come true then if we seek first the kingdom of God. Here by faith in this great hall of fame, he says we must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that just not seek but diligently. It is a life type of work. It is an earnest type of work. It is a dedicated type of work. It is something proven to God that this is more than just a flow trip. He says, diligently seek him. Father in heaven, please help us see what you're trying to get across. Please help us, Lord, to understand your mind a little more than we do. Help these verses be meaningful to us like the word of the Hebrew Christian in that day. Help us to walk with you enough by faith to understand these are general, great, fantastic information of words that God wants us not only to just have intellect, but to practice as we walk with you. Heavenly Father, honor yourself through us as we try to learn how to walk by faith. Increase our faith, Lord. Lord, you said you give us all a measure of grace. You give us a measure of faith. We've started out when we were born again with this. That means all of it has some. It's how we use it that's going to determine how much more you give us until we get home. Dear Jesus, help us. Holy Spirit that lives within us, help us grasp these true meanings in these last days to be as close to that early church as we can to walk with you until we get home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.